Let's start with prayer. Dear Father, we're gathered here this morning to worship you. Lord, we want to hear from you, and we would like for you to minister to us. Father, we would like to get direction. Whatever you have planned for us, just speak into our lives. Father, let this message be something that we can use. Let us glean something from it that we can use in the days and years to come, Father. I just ask that you send your Holy Spirit now, touch each person here, pour your Spirit out on them, let them be receptive to what we're talking about. And Father, let it not be from me, but from you. We just thank you so much, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's start. I want to talk about how we get access to God today. Because if we don't have access to God, we're kind of out there on our own. And there's a whole world out here, a whole bunch of people that don't know Jesus as their Savior and that don't believe in God. And it seems like more and more places God isn't welcome. So I just thought, well, let's just talk about how we have access to this God. And I want to start with a scripture out of Romans first. It says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have clearly been seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse." So basically, what is that saying? I mean, it says if we look around us, we look at nature, we look at the animals, I mean, we look at everything, how it fits together. God says that there's enough proof right there that we will believe he exists. Now, somebody said once, looking at the world and not believing that it was made by someone is like walking down the beach and finding a Timex and saying, this thing just kind of put itself together. And I always thought that was really a really good way of putting it. You know, there's so many intricate pieces that make this world work. I mean, just the location of the planets alone on how they all fit together and how they stay where they are. It's just totally amazing. And to think that was an accident, it's just, I have a hard time. I mean, it's easier for me to believe that someone created it than that it happened accidentally. And there's another scripture I want to read that kind of backs that up some more. It's out of Psalms 19, verses 1 through 5. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge." In other words, it says all you got to do is look at this stuff. And if you look at it with an open mind, you'll come to a conclusion that there is a God. You go on, it says, "They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world." Wow, that's pretty powerful stuff. So now that let's just say, okay, we believe in God, but now that still doesn't tell us how we have access to him. That just means that now we believe that he exists. So where do we go from there? Well, once we believe that a God exists, we kind of have to look at, what kind of God is this? I mean, who is this God? What is he? Well, if we read through the Bible, we find out that the God that we believe in comes in three persons. You have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And they are three persons, but they are one. And you're like, that's impossible. Well, yeah, in our human mind, that doesn't really make sense. How can you have three persons that are one? But they have to be three persons because Jesus prays to the Father. The Father talks to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is our helper to help us. So my little human brain can't wrap itself around that, but the Bible teaches it. So because I choose to believe that it's the Word of God, I will believe that God is three persons. And the reason I'm pointing this out is because if you read in John, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. They're actually talking about Jesus. This is who John's talking about where he writes this. In other words, Jesus was with God from the beginning. He's always been there with God. And he's the one that actually did all the creating, if you want to say it that way. So we have to look at that. We can't just say, okay, well, I believe in God the Father, but I don't believe in God the Son. Why would I want to believe in him? Well, if we don't, wait a minute, how could he create all things? It doesn't fit together. So let's just say, okay, we believe in God the Father and God the Son. We believe that God the Holy Spirit is a little easier to believe in because Jesus says that's our helper that he sent to us when he went to heaven after he was here on earth. Let's go on from that. So if Jesus made all things and then he came to this earth, as the Bible says, he came to this earth to die for us. Because we're sinful, all of us are, whether we like to admit it or not. We all make mistakes, and basically a mistake is a sin. You know, taking a pencil from the bank is a sin. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of little things that we don't think about. So none are perfect, so yes, we need someone to pay for those sins. Well, Jesus was nice enough to come to this earth to pay for those sins, but why did he do that? Well, we're right back to where I started earlier, to give us access to God. Because without him, without his sacrifice, God cannot tolerate evil, the Bible says. So we need someone to filter us, basically. After we receive Jesus as our Savior, God looks at us through Jesus, basically. He no longer sees us as sinners. You know, I heard Charles Stanley say one time, I don't know if any of you know him, he's a Baptist preacher, but I heard him say one time, I thought this was great. He says, you know, you always hear Christians going around, oh, I'm a sinner, I'm just a sinner, you know, I can't. He says, really what we need to do is go around and say, we're saints that sin. We are saints, that's what God calls us, but we do still sin, whether we want to or not. And if you think of yourself in a more positive way, you will walk in a more positive way. That was the point that Charles was trying to make that morning. I thought it was very good. So now we know that God's real. We know that who Jesus is, that he created all this. We know that he came to this earth, died on the cross, and was raised 3 days later. He's now in heaven with the Father. And here's the part that a whole bunch of people really don't like. I'm going to read. It's out of John 14. Jesus answered. Jesus was talking to the crowd, and he says, he answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Wow, that is a very, very strong scripture. So all these other people that don't believe in Jesus, what happens to them? Well, we know the answer, but nobody wants to hear it. You know, and everybody says, well, how can God be so mean that he'd make all these people go to hell? Well, God's not really doing it. It's our own choice. If people choose to not believe this, nobody's forcing them to do anything. It's all our choice. But it goes on. It says, if you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. That's awesome. So through Jesus is how we get access to God. So now we believe in God, you know, who God is. We believe that Jesus came and died on the cross, and because of that, we get to spend eternity with him. And what's the scripture say after that? Well, let's read out of Romans 5. It says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's basically what I was just talking about. Through him, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Isn't that awesome? I mean, it says it 10 times better than I could say it. So what's our conclusion on all this? Well, the conclusion, I'm going to read out of Hebrews. And it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. It's faith. We have to have faith. And it doesn't just apply to a non-believer, a person that doesn't believe in Jesus. It applies to us that know Jesus is our Savior also. We have to have faith. If we don't have faith, there's one scripture, and I won't paraphrase it, but you know, if you're blown around back and forth and, you know, well, maybe I believe it, maybe I don't, it don't work. We have to have faith. So what's the conclusion? Well, we need to believe that he exists. Then we believe he does what he says. That's our faith. And then we do what he asks. That's the part we don't like. We got to do what he asks. You can't claim to be a follower of Jesus and live like the world. It just doesn't work. We got to do what he would like for us to do. Now, we're all going to stumble and we're all going to fall. But his mercies are new every morning, and that's his grace, and that's the awesome part. No matter how many times we mess up, we can get up and say, I'm sorry. And we are forgiven. Jesus paid the price for all of it. And like it says, this is not to have access to God. You can lose your access to God as a believer. Whoa, 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 wait a minute. Everybody's like, what is he talking about? I'm not talking about losing your salvation. What I'm talking about is, if you don't do what God asks of you, you know, the Holy Spirit comes and is supposed to teach us and tell us what to do. And Holy Spirit says, Hines, don't do this. And Hines says, oh, this is one time won't hurt. I can go do that. Tomorrow, Holy Spirit says, Hines, don't do this. Hines does it again. Or I can put anybody's name in there. And we were just talking about that yesterday. You keep doing that, and eventually the Holy Spirit is, oh, you want to do that? Okay, cool. See, God's a gentleman. He does not force us to do anything. It's all our choice. And if you choose to go down the wrong path, even as a Christian, he's going to let you. Now, he's going to fight for you tooth and nail. He doesn't want you to. You know, somebody was telling me a story one time. He knew this person that received Jesus as a Savior, and this person made their living stealing. And he ran into him like a month or two later, and the guy's like, man, there's nothing's going right. Everything I tried just ain't working right. And he said it was kind of funny because all I could tell him, well, yeah, it's not going to go right. Because now you're a child of God, and God's children don't do that stuff. But if you try hard enough to do wrong, eventually the Holy Spirit backs off, and then you get out into the mess. And that's why needing access to God applies to non-believers and believers. We got to make sure we keep that door open because we want to hear from him. You know, when we do stuff, we want to know, okay, God, what should I do in this? And I know I've gotten, you know, sometimes you sit there and you go, God, I'm not hearing it. But the more you stay plugged in, the scripture says, I mean, if you seek God, you will find him. Now, it might take a little bit, and it may not go in the pace that we want it to, but it will happen. That he guarantees us. So having that access is very important. And with that, I'd like to close. Let's pray. Dear Father God, thank you for the access to you. We know we can come to you because Jesus paid the price for what we do wrong. And because we believe in his sacrifice, we can come to you and worship you. We can come to you and serve you. And just like any good parent would, you like for us to do things your way because it's better for us than our way. And you ask us to do things that sometimes we don't want to do. I just ask that you would touch each one of us, our heart, and make us more receptive to what you want us to do, that we can follow you. You know, we will be blessed if we do it your way. A lot of times we stand in the way of the blessings because we want to do it our way. We thank you so much for everything you do, Lord. So, Lord, as we get ready to go riding today, to go racing, keep everyone safe on and off the track. It's a beautiful day. We get a little overcast. Keep the sun out of off everybody. Actually, that's even great. We thank you so much for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for coming.